Good afternoon, folks. If you're listening live, good morning or good evening. If you're listening to the podcast, this is John Johnson on Radio EduTalk again today. We're still at the eAssessment Conference 2012 in Dundee. And I'm delighted to have with me Carrie Normand from the University of Dundee and Russell Stannard from the University of Warwick, who I've just heard give a really interesting and I think slightly different, on a different note somehow from some of the other things I've seen today. So I'm just going to ask them to tell me a wee bit about themselves, where they come from, what they do, and then we'll move on maybe to e-assessment or whatever takes our fancy. Carrie, do you want to give us a wee bit of background?
Yes, hi. I'm Carrie Normand. I'm Senior Lecturer in Education at the University of Dundee, and I'm Head of Learning and Teaching for the College of Arts and Social Sciences. So I have a dual role in the university. One is working with lecturers throughout the country and working with them through their teacher education and teacher qualification, and the other is developing the strategy for learning and teaching here at the University of Dundee.
Thanks very much. And Russell?
I'm a Principal Teaching Fellow at the University of Warwick. I basically train teachers in using technology in education, and I also run a website called teachertrainingvideos.com, which is quite popular, and it basically provides free help videos, free training videos, screencasts to help teachers incorporate technology into their teaching and learning. So if they want to do a blog or a wiki or a podcast, then they can go on and just make use of the videos, and they just take them step by step through how to use different technologies. And it's free, completely free.
For Radio EduTalk listeners, that's the right price. And Carrie and I think we're both just in the keynote that you gave, which was again using screencast technology,
but in a
completely different way, and in a way I certainly had never thought of. Although I'm very familiar with screencasting, I'd never thought of it. So maybe you could tell us a wee bit about that.
It's quite interesting you saying that because, I thought of the idea as soon as I saw screencasting for the first time. But it wasn't until 2006 that I realised how simple it was to do a screencast. I initially presumed it must be very difficult. When I started to work with the idea, because it generated a lot of publicity, particularly because I had the article in the Times Higher, I actually contacted, I was using Camtasia then, so I contacted Camtasia in America. They're a company, they're called TechSmith, and they hadn't thought about the potential of screencasting being used for feedback. Maybe it's the way I think, I'm not sure, but quite a lot of people were like that. They kind of saw the tool as only being really used for training people to use software, and they hadn't thought that that tool could also be used to provide kind of feedback to the students. It took TechSmith a long time to come on board. In fact, eventually they invited me out to America and I presented my work to them, but initially they couldn't understand what I was saying. I said, yeah, this is a great tool for using, providing feedback to students.
I think maybe one of the reasons is when I think of screencasting, I think of one to many. And I think, well, this is a great time shaver because I can explain how to do something to lots and lots of different people. But what you're actually doing is using it one to one.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a bit, the possibilities. It opens up a whole, what I was trying to say today really was a sort of evolution in the idea in terms of me originally doing it from a one, to one-to-one basis, then looking at one-to-many basis, then looking at, well, hang on, the students could also be using it because the tool's so easy to use. So in a way, we've come through a whole, that was what I was trying to sort of explain today, that I'd come through an evolution in terms of the way it could be used. So, yeah.
That was one thing that I found really interesting, actually, in the presentation, was one that you were actually talking about the process, your learning journey, if you like, and also just looking at this iterative process that you had between trying it out with your students, getting their evaluation, you doing your research, and then always adapting it. And, it seems like that's been a really rich experience for you, your own learning journey on this.
Yeah, and also because, and as I did emphasise at the beginning, you know, I'm a teacher, and it wasn't really until I was kind of actually into the process of using it that I then started to read about feedback and look at things like feed forward and then reflection, etc., etc. So definitely, you know, my starting point was my own frustration with the way that students reacted to the feedback that I was providing them with, and just a few articles that I'd read about how, for example, the coding system, you know, putting a V for vocabulary and a P for pronunciation, etc., how that system wasn't actually very effective and the students were often frustrated by it. That was really the starting point. And then obviously I then began to read more and more and more. And that was quite interesting in terms of the first presentation this morning that David did, when he was sort of talking about assessment and sort of feedback as level one and level two. And I was thinking, yeah, that's kind of similar to my own development. It was the beginning, it was very much the sort of level one form of assessment. Now I'm moving over to level two. But it's still very, very experimental. You know, that was one of the things I was trying to emphasise today was, look, this is an idea. Please go out, try it out. You know, there are so many ways that this tool could be used.
That's right. I noticed that you're providing quite a lot of structure. And actually, you know, I think probably we agree that's quite a good idea when you're providing feedback. And I was thinking that in relation to something that you're moving on to into as you go into your next phase, I think, is to do with reflexivity and trying to foster that in your students and them taking much more of a lead. You know, you said your earlier approach was very teacher-led, and now you're moving towards more student-led, learner-led. And I notice you provide them with the questions upon which to reflect, and they are very open-ended. Mm. Are you thinking about them, perhaps in the future, creating their own questions,
definitely,
or leaving it much
definitely.
More...
I think that's really good. It comes back to the, you know, you often read about all these ideas and, you know, well, this is what we should be doing. But then, obviously, there's the practice of being in the classroom and doing it. And, of course, that requires steps. And I think it would be a lot for me to say to the students, right, here's Jim, I want you to reflect, and you're going to invent your own questions. And I think there's a bit of a process, again, here that's going on, you know, and I certainly see that as something that I would... And I was thinking a lot about that today when I saw David, listened to David this morning presenting, and I thought, yeah, you know, I really need to keep evolving and developing this whole idea. So that's probably where I'll go to. At the moment, though, I'm just looking at the types of questions that I can ask and what, you know, and just obviously at the end of the day, does that enrich the experience for students? Because if they're doing these reflections but it's not actually, you know, having any impact on their learning in a way, it's worthless. So that's also something we need to look at.
So I was also struck by you saying you like Richard Mayer's work and this use of the dual processor. And because that struck me in when I was thinking about your early work that you did where you were highlighting errors but not actually saying how they might correct it. And I was thinking it is very effective actually, isn't it? Having something visual and oral for learners.
Yeah, and that's really, I mean, I think I was trying to make that point as well. You've got to be very disciplined when you use this, when you use screencasting for feedback, because you've got to make sure that it isn't just a podcast and you are making use of the visual components. And, you know, you can highlight things, you can write on the screen, you can go off and show on a website, you can do anything, because basically all that the screen capture is doing is recording whatever you're doing on the internet. So it's really important to get that balance between the two things. And that was one of the key influences for me early on, because I thought, as I said today, you know, teaching and learning has really moved on. But not necessarily, I mean, I think it would be unfair to say feedback hasn't moved on. I think it has moved on a lot, but still a lot of feedback in practice is still very much text-based. And I wanted to kind of say, well, the same shift, or we need to try to make the same shift in terms of feedback and make sure it's very inclusive and it includes both visual and oral information, and we make, you know, learning styles or multi-modality, however you'd like to describe it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that's really important.
Yeah. I was wondering, also, I noticed all your accolades. You've been recognised by many people and got awards and been invited to give keynotes and presentations and write for the newspaper. Has that helped you develop this, do you think? Do you think that, because in academia, quite often accolades are very thin on the ground, actually. But it's good that you've been actually recognised for this. And do you think it's helped you to develop these things further?
Well, I mean... enormously, you know. One of the interesting things, as I was saying today, was kind of my my sort of naivety, my innocence in the whole process. You know, I haven't got a background in research. I'm not the type of person that normally, you know, that does research and writes research papers. So when I came up with the idea, and I say tested it, because I wouldn't consider it to be research really, I just thought, well, how do I get this idea out there as quick as possible? So obviously the recognition played a big role, because that meant that lots of people made use of the website, and the website becomes a forum for spreading the idea, my own ideas, and particularly about using feedback. But then also just the engagement that come through writing in the newspapers. Now, I've written absolute tons of articles in online journals and in free magazines, English Teaching Professional, Modern Teaching Professional, Professional, TESOL Spain, TESOL Italy, all over the place. And just keep writing and writing and writing. And so got the word out there. And that was, in a way, just me being naive and thinking, well, I've got to get this idea out there, and not taking the normal route, which is to publish in a journal. And I think that's actually really been beneficial, because it's meant that I've had a huge, great, you know, a number of people following my work and suggesting ideas, because that's been probably the most, at the beginning it's a bit hard to take. They send you an email saying to you, well, Russell, actually your idea is okay, but then as you're then sitting there thinking, yeah, God, that's really true, you know, give gene to the students, wow, just opens up another world. So I'm really grateful that I took that approach, and it's really helped a lot.
So I mean, what I'm seeing with, just which you can't see obviously, but you can probably hear in your voice listening to the podcast, is you have an immense amount of fun doing this and thinking about it and talking about it and all the rest of it. And I think it's really interesting that you're not being driven originally by some piece of research. You're just following what you're interested in, and that kind of almost parallels what we're looking for pupils and students to do in education now, and would be maybe encouraged by the kind of feedback you're talking about giving, about giving more formative feedback. I mean, even your initial feedback, where you said it wasn't very well developed, where you were just pointing out errors, it was more formative than summative, because you weren't going, you know, 5 out of 6. You were going, fix this, but I'm not telling you how to.
I mean, that was the one good thing that I
that
did.
Was that was yeah, really that was nice.
Yeah.
But I mean, I was just seeing an awful lot of nice parallels between how you're learning and how the kind of feedback that everybody's talking about here today, we're trying to get pupils and students to learn, to get engaged and have conversations about their learning and all the rest of it. So I think that's just really lovely to see.
I think one thing, you know, obviously I come from a teaching background. That's where I'm grounded. And over the time, I began to appreciate now the role of research, and realise, you know, we've got to try these ideas out, but we've got to then, we've got an intuitive feeling about what works and what doesn't. But it's also well worth doing the research and really getting to the bottom of the nitty gritty. So I do appreciate both sides. So slowly, I've made the journey over to the other side and started to appreciate. I can read a journal now and really appreciate where they're trying to go. I used to read them 4 or 5 years ago, thinking, "Well, this is making everything far too complicated." But now I've certainly made that journey, and coming to Warwick University has made a big difference in that way as well, because it's much more of a research-based university. But still, at the end of the day, I'm a teacher, and what I love being doing is being in the class and inspiring the students and doing the best I can, you know.
And I think that comes through, because I think the work that you've developed and your approaches are born from this desire to find solutions to particular problems that we're all engaging, you know, as teachers with students. How do we give them the best feedback, or how do we get them to think about their own learning and take control over that as well? And I always think that's the good way, you know, in terms of teaching, but also in terms of leading towards research. So I think it's actually very good practice-informed research.
Yeah.
I think also the areas you teach in language and also teacher education, I think this methodology lends itself well. I wonder if some people might think it's only suitable for certain subjects. What do you feel? Do you think it's applicable to all subjects?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, one of the initial things was that, from the States, I got some emails back saying, yeah, Russell, you know, because that's how it got me to think about that first point I was making about saying, actually, for correcting surface errors, this isn't really making good use of the tool, because, you know, people were saying to me, yeah, Russell, that's okay, but, you know, when you want to elaborate on a point, when someone's, you know, when you're talking about the content or the organisation, and you need to say a lot, And then to write that down would be very difficult. And really, the only way to communicate that, one of the few ways, would be to actually meet with the student, because you'll say, well, you know, you've made it. Because you want to say so much. Suddenly, when you're using screen capture, you can do that. You can provide that additional information because we're doing it orally, you know. So I think, you know, that it can be used in a lot of subject areas, and that's been one of the you know, again, I sort of had my initial idea that was ELT, and then the feedback from other sort of from America particularly, but other places as well, but particularly from America, saying, yeah, but, you know, it could be great for teaching for marking history and great for the plans and, you know, planning as well. Then suddenly I realised, yeah, it could be used in actually a lot of different areas of the curriculum.
Yeah, the only thing I would say from what I saw today that was missing was we didn't get to see your picture, you actually delivering this feedback, because actually you're a very dynamic lecturer and you use your hands a lot, and you know, when you're sending things you physically make that gesture, and I think that would be really good. But I think you can show it that, yeah, but perhaps the ones you showed today didn't. So
no, the reason is, as well, is as well, there is a big issue, and that is with the time it all takes. Yeah. So see, I worry sometimes if we try to bring in, say for example, include like the image of yourself in the video as well, then it compresses more slowly, then playing it back might be more difficult for students. So I'm trying to keep it really simple. Unfortunately, the technology went wrong today, and do you know what? After the lecture, I quickly used the task manager, closed down Zoom and tested it again, and it worked. But that's how it goes, I'm afraid. But you know, so I try to keep it as simple as possible, because obviously time's a factor. You know, you've got to get the balance between the amount of time that the student teacher is going to invest in providing the feedback and what the results and the impact of that are. And so I do worry that if we start to bring too much into it, and that's why I've kept the image out. But yes, you're right, you can include it if you want to.
Well, thank you very much, Russell. Thank you, Carrie. Have you anything else you want to say about the conference in general, or?
Well, yeah. It's been going. I mean, unfortunately, I've got to fly back this afternoon, which is a, you know, but it was a fantastic. Well, it was just wonderful. See, 300, is it something like 300 people here? I mean, the room was nearly full, and it was absolutely fabulous. And it's been an honour to come along. I'm really pleased that I was invited. Really nicely, well organised, and great speakers, and on a topic that, you know, there's just a massive need for it.
Well, it seems to be the hardest thing to do in teaching. Of all, you know, from 2-year-olds to 40-year-olds is the feedback bit. So it's great to see some really practical advice, and I can think of how to use that now. I'm beginning to think you could use that with small kids, you know, it would work fine. So thank you very much.
Yeah, I think it's the whole range of events and the opportunities for exploring new ideas and new pieces of technology, or just revisiting old ideas as well. But I think what I take from it is just really sharing in this community of practice, actually, yeah. And being able to talk and have this conversation with you, Russell, just now has been great.
Oh, thank you both for the conversation. And for folks listening now live, we're going to go back to the auto DJ. I think there'll be some more from Radio EduTalk Live this afternoon. Just watch Twitter if you want to listen. Cheers.